A Time to Live. This is our thought for today from Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. And I'm surrounded by a room full of monks here who are just listening intently to hear what we're going to say, A Time to Live. A Time to Live is really a very special time, isn't it? It's a time that reminds us of wonderful things that are going on in our life. And what are those things that are going on in our life? The things that are going on in our life are living. Now, yesterday, my sister died, and you would say, well, now, that's kind of an interesting way to present it. But yes, she died yesterday. She had lived a long and glorious life as a very fine, outstanding person, doing beautiful things. Her husband had died a month or so before, and she was ready to go too. Now, that's not the way you should die. That's not the way you should live. But that's the way we sometimes do. When our mate goes, the person who means the most to us in life, then we go and think we're going to join them. But it's a time for living. Every one of us can live a long, healthy, happy, hearty life if we choose. But it means we have to have our garbage compactor intact, our garbage disposal intact. We have to have our sewer lines all cleaned out. We have to have our choice of working in the garden and pulling the weeds. We have to have our choice of maintaining our temple of the living God as a beautiful temple that is pure and clean and beautiful. You see, they had an article in the Bottom Line magazine for January, and the article said that this girl had several kids, and one of them was little, and the others were 10 or 11 years old, and the little girl kept stepping in the doggy pool, and the older girls were supposed to be picking it up, you know, and putting it away, but the older girls weren't always on top of that. And so the mother was saying, pick up that poo, pick up that poo. And her temptation was to say, pick up that S, the shit. And that word was not acceptable in her family. And so she had a tough time biting her tongue not to say it. Why did she have a tough time biting her tongue not to say it? Why wasn't it just a natural, simple thing that that is a word that you don't say? Now, there are other words that you don't say. There are words about the parts of the body that you don't say, you don't use. There are swear words that you don't say and don't use. Why is it so easy for someone like this very fine lady to say that word which was a distress to her? You see, when the little children aren't around, we allow ourselves latitude. We allow ourselves the opportunity to be uncontrolled. And because we're uncontrolled, we have no control over our life. That's only one of the little holes in the dike that will destroy that woman. Now, she's working on it, so that's, of course, a good thing. But we all have these little holes that destroy our life. They're the areas of not keeping ourselves perfectly clean. Ellen so wonderfully said about one of on her New Year's Eve talk, what was the term you used, Ellen? Please? See, she forgot it already. That was right. She said, as she is the president of our corporation here, the chairman of the board, she's the chief dog, and she said, I think we basically teach this. Now, what she was trying to do was to be falsely humble, and being falsely humble, you get your tongue twisted and you get your foot in your mouth all the time. We teach that, and we teach that 100%. We don't basically teach it, and we don't think that we basically teach it. We teach it. We see, those are the little eroding things that false humility that we say because we don't want to act superior. Well, act superior. Be perfect in everything that you do. Be perfect in everything that you say. Now, how do you think that lady is going to get the shit out of her life? You know? She's going to get that out of her life by saying, it's not a bad word to say. And when she says it's not a bad word to say, then she won't say it. Because she's saying it because she wants to use it for effect to get somebody, to get her kids' attention. And so she does it. And how silly that is. How silly that is. That's like watching pornographic movies, and then after a while you think they're okay because you've watched enough of them, you just think it's natural. And you instead of when your kids come in from outside and they don't come in quick enough, you slap them. And after a while, you slap them all the time, and you think nothing of it. Don't begin it, right? Don't begin slapping kids, right? Mm-hmm. That's right. Jerome here is 10, and he knows about how some families slap their kids and how some families are kind of discourteous to their children. Jerome, are you a tiny boy, or are you a people?
A tiny boy.
Oh, you're a tiny boy. Well, that's a good statement, too. But you are a people. You are a person. You are a wonderful, wonderful, fantastic person. And a little person, you deserve all the respect that anyone else gets in the world, even though you're a tiny boy. And you're not so tiny. You're a pretty good soccer player and everything else. Plus, you play chess and you do all these other things. But see, we have the tendency, because children are little, is to treat them like the stupid. And they're not stupid, are they? No, children are very intelligent. Jerome is having a little trouble with my English here because he speaks Thai and Switzerland. So I have to make sure that he really understands me. But when children are treated like nothing, they learn to react like nothing. And they learn to lack responsibility. When a mother has responsibility, then the child follows through. If the mother washes her hands before she sits down to eat, the children will too. If the mother puts on nice clothing before she sits down to eat and says, now, let's all sit down and have a nice family dinner together, they will too. But if the mother dresses slovenly, the children will. If the father dresses carelessly, the children will. They follow the lead of their parents. Now, this in itself is not good or not bad. But if the parents are trying to teach the children to have good manners and to dress well and to respect the family dinner time as a time of sharing, then they must respect it as a time of sharing. No loud talk, no swearing, no unkind words that are delivered at the meal. It is always a beautiful, gentle sharing time. Because if it's not a beautiful, gentle sharing time, the children are going to learn that. Tell them. I know you sometimes say, well, Herb, if that's what you really teach and believe, why do you pick on us at mealtime? Well, basically, that's the only time I see you. I see you many times, but every time I see you, I only think lovely thoughts about you. I don't think about what needs a little bit of brushing up. But anyhow, it's a time to live. So if we're going to have a time for living, it's a time to put our house in order. And to put our house in order starts with our thoughts. What kind of thoughts do we have about ourselves? That's a good way. Do you like yourself? Do you think that you're a beautiful person and a happy person and a friendly person? Do you have a smile on your face more often than you have a frown? Do you look for the sunny side of life more often than you look for the gray? Do you care more about a happy universe than you do about a sad universe? You see, it's something very important for us all to consider. What is it that we want from our world? Now, it's a time to live. It's a time to live beautifully. Now, if we live in the temple of the living God, then we would certainly want to keep that temple clean and beautiful. So we take our baths. So we brush our teeth. So we take care of our hair and take care of our clothing and take care of all the things that are making us as an acceptable, sharing human being. And wherever we go, we will be not a clothes horse, but we will be a nicely dressed person who is fitting into society. And pretty soon, any person who does not like to be a nicely dressed person fitting into society will not be in our world. Now you heard that. When we act, dress, think like a beautiful person, we will create other people in our world who act, dress, and think like a beautiful person, so we'll be surrounded by them. Now, if a mother trains her child to act, dress, and think like a beautiful person, when that child goes out of the house, it's going to surround itself with other children that act, dress, and think like a beautiful person. And the mother never has to worry who that child is with, because that child has quality about it. They have values, and they live those values. They live in their temple of the living God with respect and honor. Now, it's easy to fall off of that wagon. It's easy to forget about it. Now, we've talked about our thoughts and our words. Now, what about our food intake? What sort of food do we eat? The food that we eat is
healthy for my body and filled with love.
Oh, you do know it. Healthy for my body and filled with love. Is there any delineation of that food? Do we describe it? Do we say it? The food is healthy for my body and filled with love. Whatever we take and eat is healthy for our body and filled with love. Now, how many of you go into the bathroom and wash your hands before you sit down at the table? Now, you don't have to, but the thing is, that might be a nice pattern. That might be a very proper sanitary pattern. Truly, you're not going to die eating the dirt and what have you. But medical history shows that people who wash their hands have less colds and less contagious diseases than people who don't. And people who wash their hands and don't pick with their eyes and their mouth and their nose with their hands like this here, you know, have less contagious diseases also. It's quite interesting. But that's just a statement, and it's a good one. Now, we've talked about that. Now, what about the sewer? What about our alimentary canal and our colon and where we dump out our waste? What about that? What sort of care do we take of that? Why would anyone in their right mind, and I'll say this 3,000 times now, why would anyone in their right mind want to put alcohol, want to put smoke, narcotics, or hot, spicy foods into the body? Well, I like hot, spicy foods. Well, sure you do. You've been trained to like it. But as a child, you couldn't stand it. Because as a child, you were pure. As a child, you were integral. As a child, you were beautiful. And now some Mexican children are trained to like spicy things early in life because that's all they get. But they get that because they don't have sanitary conditions. They don't have the ability to wash their hands and do things. So they kill the bugs on the inside instead of killing them on the outside. We kill them on the outside, or at least wash them away, and then we don't have to worry about them. But when you eat hot, spicy foods, what it does, it makes your stomach lining, your esophagus, it makes your intestines immune to, of course, you don't have taste buds down there, but immune to having the greatest benefit from the food. The food either passes through or it stops on the villi. The villi, that's those little things that are bouncing around inside your intestines, and it clogs up there, and pretty soon your intestines is all clogged up, and you have to have a special, to clean it out, you know. So you have to take, what's the name of it? When you're cleaning out your intestine, you take a diuretic of some sort, right? Yeah. Yeah. Hmm?
Purgative.
I'm sorry?
Purgative.
I'm sorry?
It's not an English word. Purgative. Yeah, purgative. I'm mixing it up with Italian.
Yeah, Italian, French, yes. German, yes. English, mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. And Switzerland and Latin and and everything else on the sun. Maybe a little bit of the Egyptian thrown in there.
You mean laxative.
A laxative. Thank you, my dear friends. Yeah. You have to take a laxative to clean it out. But that doesn't clean it out. Because it just piles, it's like a tar that gathers around the little villi. Now, what are the villi for in your intestines? They absorb the energy out of your food. They absorb the vitamins and minerals and protein out of your food and put it into your bloodstream and make it available to your body. If those little villi are covered with tar, as a good portion of them are, then they cannot do their work. And that's why you don't get the benefit of the food you eat. And I mean the benefit, not the fattening, but the eating of it. So you want to keep your temple clean, and you want to keep your sewer line clean. You want to keep everything about you clean. Now, how do you do that? You do that by saying what before you start eating?
This food is healthy for my body and filled with love.
This food is healthy for my body and filled with love. When you say that before you start eating, you already announce to your body that this is healthy food and it is good for your body and filled with love. And so your body is expecting that. And then you throw down some jalapeno peppers and they say, "Yike! I thought you were being good to me. What are you doing?" You know. And you say, "Well, I like jalapeno peppers." Well, sure you do. You have burned all your taste buds away, and you don't even know what it's like. But you forget what jalapeno peppers do once they get downstairs. Once they get downstairs, they give you heartburn and do all these other silly things because of that. And you wonder why you have that, and it's because you just don't care about what you eat. Now, truly, if you say, and I know you don't, but if you say, "This food is healthy for my body and filled with love," at every meal, you will never eat anything that is disadvantageous to your body. You will live beautifully, fully, and well, and you'll have a great time living. Now, you could never eat too much food, and you could never eat too little food, believe it or not. You can eat food that is not good for you, and that is when you do not speak your word before you eat, that this food is healthy for my body and filled with love. Dogs have a lovely immune system. They go out in the yard and they drink from the puddles. We were in the Philippines and there was a little boy who came as we were crossing the street, and he reached down in a puddle and took a big long drink and then continued on his way. Oh, so refreshed. But the thing, he is immune. He has to be. Now, that is where the horses go by and urinate. That's where people go by and urinate. And that's where rain stops and rinses it away, and it's still pretty powerful. But, you know, for us to say that sort of thing, we couldn't handle it. We would be, we'd call it gross. And in the process, we would throw up or whatever. But we wouldn't probably drink it in the first place. But that little kid, he drank it, and he was only the top of the crust. Down below, everybody was doing it. And they're immune. They're immune to these things. I enjoyed the women we met at the mortuary, not mortuary, but I mean at the hospital, which really is a mortuary, the hospital where May died, and they were dancing. They were from the Philippines, and they were dancing in between patients, you know. They took the break, you know, and then they were teaching each other to do the cha-cha-cha and so forth. And they looked beautiful, relaxed, peaceful. When they went into the patients, they had a good attitude about everything. They went in there and they say, "Well, how are you doing? You're going to make this all right now, and you're going to take these medicines and come through fine." And some do, some don't. But they like themselves. They like life. And it's a time to live. And this is what they are sharing and spreading in that ward. And that ward is the highly intensive ward for the highly critical patients. I would imagine that in that ward there are 30 people and maybe more, but approximately 30, 40 rooms, and maybe about 3 to the 30 roll out each day sitting up. The rest of them are rolled out to go out and be no more, because it's a highly critical area. Now, we could put a cause in motion and say all those people are whole and perfect, and that's a lovely thing to do. but why don't we do it for every critical ward? When's the last time you sent out a paean of praise to the surgical wards and to the highly critical wards? You know, you don't. You don't even think about it. Just like you don't even think about the food, how it's being prepared. Mother prepares the food with love. The family loves to eat it. Mother's angry at father or something else, and she's preparing the food. That anger gets right in there and messes it all up. We have to always do everything in love. We had a guest here for a few days here who had a hang-up about himself, and he was acting like a very naughty boy, and he disturbed everybody else here and made everybody feel just a little bit uncomfortable, and they didn't know it. But you see, that type of action saps the energy right out of us and saps ourself. And if we associate with a person who does that now and then, oh, we will know it. We will be a nothing in no time at all. But we're going to see him balanced and no longer needing to do that. But meanwhile, he is a lesson for us. He is an object lesson that we should keep in mind, that that's the type of thing that we are not going to allow ourselves to do. Not that we're better than him or worse, but when you love yourself and you don't feel sorry for yourself, when you are happy with the world you have, you don't have to take it out on other people. You don't have to be discourteous. You just be yourself and have fun. Now, it's a time to live. It's a time to live. If you really believe that here at the University of Healing, we have a wonderful learning situation, we have a wonderful opportunity to learn, if you really believe that, every single moment that you're in town, you'd want to be here. Every single moment that you're in the neighborhood, you'd want to be here. You have other life and other things to do, that's understandable. But if you were here and you really believe that, you'd be here. If you say, wow, that's heaven on earth, it's so peaceful, so lovely, you'd want to be here. But when a person comes and then wants to zip away, I know what's going on. I know that the world outside is much more inviting and much more calling than here, because here you are expected every single minute to think positive thoughts, to be beautiful, to love yourself, to love everybody in your world. Well, Herb, when you talk about that other person who didn't behave, yeah, I'm just giving you an illustration. I don't hate that person. I love him with all my heart. The minute that person would come back here, I'd say, welcome home, prodigal son. Welcome home. And you would too. But the thing is, you have to be alert. What kind of people are you creating in your world? What kind of life are you living? Are you living a life with a perfect sewer system? You're living a life with a perfect input system in your mind, in your heart, in your life, in your body? Are you living eternally? If you are, that's wonderful, and you can do that very well. But it's going to take your decision, not just say all is in divine order, just whatever you have agreed to do in a learning situation, to do it. And don't agree to things so quickly, you know. If there are things that you can't handle, don't agree to them. It's a time to live. It's a time to live wonderfully and enjoy ourselves. And enjoying ourselves is not just giving in to our physical body's needs and desires and wants. It's giving in to our mental pyramid, being disciplined at the top and being bliss at the bottom. It's magnificent. One of these days we'll have another series of talks on the pyramid. But But at the moment, we're just browsing around on a number of topics that are dear to your heart that I hear you talking about. So, my dear friends, I know that it's a time to live. And I know that each of you has a clean, pure, beautiful house because God lives there. I know that each of you does not put into your house anything that you would think God would not appreciate, and you don't release from your house anything that God wouldn't appreciate, like words or attitudes or thoughts or swearing. So, think about these things, enjoy these things, and make your life the most blessed, wonderful thing in the world by you being master of yourself. Because that's the way I see you. And I love you very much. So, 25 minutes and 15 seconds. Oh, good, we're still going.